Yeah, how we
rolling?
Yeah.
All right, I will call us to order for our final regularly scheduled budget work session that includes auditor, board of supervisors, and all the other funds that we deal with. The auditor is out sick today, suffering from flu-like conditions, I think, and so we welcome her not being here, and we'll see her next week in a callback, so that we maintain similar thing to what we did with the county attorney. Lisa, I was hoping that you could convey for us that we really appreciate the budget that the auditor submitted here. Clearly, it is a lean, lean budget. As I went through it and came to a bottom line, I'm looking for about $3,000 out of that budget. And so if she could just have a heads up on that, similar to what Stephen got in his deal. And I don't know if you guys felt differently or had a different number or anything else.
I wanted to have the discussion. I thought, you know, they have a pretty clear handle on,
oh, yeah,
on their needs and expenditures and so forth. And so I didn't really come up with a number. I just wanted to kind of talk through it, ask them if they saw some areas that they could reduce somewhat. But
I'm going to give you $2,400 in revenue, if that will
help. That helps.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah.
Because that we do have the boost fiscal agent fees now that we're getting.
Okay.
And my calculation for this fiscal year is about $2,400.
That'll carry.
So that'll carry forward.
Yeah, so now I'm asking for another $600 to get carved out of that.
Yeah.
To get us where in the little sheet I'm keeping, Lisa, where we need to be. So with that disposed of, Lisa, I'll ask you to walk us through what order do we want to take the rest of this in.
Totally your call. I don't care if we start with Board of Supervisors or since Jamie's here and would like to talk.
Well, since Jamie's here, I would say, Paul, you want to take us through. And, Jamie, please come on up. Absolutely.
And I did provide what he's looking at to you guys. It's in your packet, what he provided to us for a budget. It should be the white sheets that look like this.
And if we don't have those, could we make copies?
I can go make copies.
Yeah, let's get copies of those.
I don't know where I put mine.
You didn't stick them in your...
I may have.
I thought I had... I think I did.
Oh, wait a minute.
I almost brought copies for this, you know.
I have a case manager type thing and the levy. Let's see what it looks like.
Yeah, I've got it.
I've got stuff in here, so no telling.
I don't.
Communication, service board. Oh, is this about medical examiner and all that? Yep, I got it. Yep, I have it. Okay. Start with that. Yep. So for once I'm organized, I have stuff where
what
I can
about
find
that?
It.
I don't remember which pile I put it in.
Yeah. Jamie and I had this discussion this morning. I asked him if he wanted to examine me, and then the discussion...
They found theirs. I didn't find mine.
Discussion came. Yeah, it was in that packet.
Yeah. Come on.
I told him I thought that I could come back in the second life and pick who I wanted to be like, see, so...
I bet you wouldn't pick a supervisor.
No, wouldn't pick a supervisor. No. No one in public office. Trust me.
Okay, so the line item we're talking about is one line item for the board. It's called medical examiner fees. It's a $60,000 line item. I'm working on it. Just a minute. I'm going to find it for you. In your budget, it's on page
7.
Second down.
Mm-hmm. Yep, great.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yep. Well, and if she wants to be part of the conversation, let's make sure she is.
I had asked her. I forgot that. I had asked her if she wanted to come over.
All right, well, let's talk about, Jamie, if you don't mind sitting for just a minute while Teresa gets over here.
I have no problem with that.
We'll go talk. We'll talk about a few other things in our budget. Lisa, let's go back to the top of the supervisor's budget.
Okay.
We'll start working our way. Page 29.
Okay.
Everything for me in this looked consistent with the exception of economic development, which is where we're going to have our big discussion. What else did you guys have?
Yeah, annually, again, I...
Are you on countywide or the boards?
The board.
I was taking the full board. But just saying, right. Everything on here looks fairly consistent.
Yeah. So. And we looked at...
You guys don't have to cut any out of your operating...
When I looked... No.
I didn't say that yet.
No, I didn't say that. We already made some adjustments, and I think that'll come up a little bit later, and that was probably discussion of membership to a couple boards and commissions. When I visited with Alyssa and so forth earlier on, and then we talked about it last year. There was a $1,500 one and another one, and then the climate community one, and I think that we've maybe taken those out for consideration this year. As we look at a lot of different things, and primarily because just we weren't, you know, I wasn't in a position to really participate fully in some of those kinds of events without incurring additional travel costs and going to meetings in either D.C. or different parts of the country. And so I thought with the current meetings that I'm currently having right now that was probably an expense that we could forego. So. That was one of the adjustments that I noticed that was we made.
And we held pretty steady and everything, legal publications and everything. I mean, that's kind of.
I believe we can still pull $500 out of education and training. I'm on page 29. I'm third from the bottom. We're going to do what we need to do. But it just looks to me, where we are this year, where we've been in previous years. Wayne, I don't know if you've got anything big on there.
Well, Alyssa and I talked. I thought we could do that. And then when I adjusted the figure and talked to her, I was only thinking of myself. And she's got some educational, things that she got a pretty good idea what it might run, but it could be. It's going to be close to that figure is what we talked about.
None of the average includes any training for HR. I haven't incurred any of, last year I didn't go to any conferences. I will from here on out have to have all of my CEUs. So, the conferences will do that to keep up the certifications and stuff like that. But we can probably drop at 500. There's probably a conference here or there that
Let's
I would rather take it out of.
Okay. And we'll figure it out. We committed when we hired you, Alyssa, first of all, to make sure you were getting the training you needed. Secondly, now we need to make sure you're getting your CEUs to keep all certifications current and everything else. So we're going to spend the dollars there. It just looks to me like $7,000 is a reasonable place for us to start.
Usually there's one conference a year that will probably take care of all that.
Paul, you got anything else? I'm still on page 29.
No, I didn't see anything else that stuck out.
I think you could lower your communication services unless there's something I'm missing.
Well, I wasn't sure about that. We've only gone 35% of the way this year, but I thought that was a number that came straight from IT.
It does, and we added one more phone line. But I don't know where they got the... I mean, those are numbers I strictly get from them. They take the number of phones we have and tell us. So I don't know if... Has anything gone down? Have we changed anything? Because... I mean, we added that one down at the front desk because I didn't have a phone down there that they could call out. So
leave it there and see how it blows out. But I mean,
let's talk to when Barb comes back Tuesday. Let's talk to her about it and just see what kind of numbers we're getting.
I think
from
we could leave it at the 1,800 that we originally. I upped it this year. We estimated up because to compensate for that additional phone, but But if we're not even to that level yet, I don't see any reason why we can't.
Well, yet now.
We're on communication services, one above education and training. We're going to pencil that in at 1800, but we're going to talk to Barb about it when she comes back on Tuesday. Okay? So 1800 over there, Lisa.
Our employee mileage and expense should be almost nothing if we have the new van. So
it's going to go up a little bit.
What is?
The mileage.
You're going to drive the van? I'm not going to reimburse your mileage. We don't have anybody that utilizes that.
I'm planning on charging for my big steaks at McDonald's.
Yeah, I was reading code yesterday, and I thought it was interesting that the code of Iowa tells you what supervisors can build in for mileage, and it is, it is 10,000, basically reimbursed for 10,000 miles at the state rate per supervisor is what you can build in. Mm-hmm. And I know I've never turned in any mileage. You know, I think you very rarely turn in any mileage, so I think $100 sitting there in mileage is pretty dang pretty solid. When as I do my estimation, state code says you should be budgeting somewhere for us around $15,000 a year in mileage, which just doesn't make any sense at all to me. But
we have a flashback for a moment.
Yeah,
Fred Matteson filed for mileage from home to work every day for years.
By code, you can.
By code, you can.
Sure. Right, right.
Finally, at one point in time, there was some clarification from ISAC and from the auditor's office that kind of put the kibosh on that you can the supervisor's the only ones that do it, and it didn't look good.
Doesn't look good, and it's
I'll have to drive to work. Why does the supervisor get paid to drive
by
to work?
Code, you can, a supervisor can charge for anything they're doing in execution of their official duties.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, you can do whatever. So they just set a limit on how much you could do per year. And 10,000 miles to me is unbelievably generous. It'd be interesting to me, and I'm sure that ISAC wouldn't want to do this because it does look bad. It'd be interesting to me to see how many supervisors in the state are maxing that out, because I guarantee you there some are that makes their salaries look less, but then they're picking it up on the mileage side. Thanks for busting it over here. Come on up to the table.
Are we good with ours? I do want to make one comment. Our contractual line item, what I'm hoping to do in the future is to do some countywide training. I've had some people, had a couple departments that want like customer service training, management training. I'm hoping to do that on a countywide basis, and that should help the individual budget so they don't have to send their individuals to training, a day training. If we can have somebody come on site, it's a lot more cost effective to do that. So that's what I'm hoping to do next year with that line item.
Okay.
That's why I have some money built in there.
Good. Yeah. Good. Do you have a copy of this?
I do.
All right. Let's start at the top. Paul, I'm going to turn it to you since you're the one who has spoken with Jamie the most. And, Jamie, what we're looking for as much as anything is a conversation between you and Paul just to make sure that we're both completely up to speed, and then we'll talk all the way through it. Sound good?
Jamie and I started talking, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so about some changes he would like to see in the medical examiner's budget. We've made some changes. We've got three investigators on board at this time.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently approved a contract with Bacon Funeral Home to do the transports for the medical examiner at $400 each, which is anywhere from probably a third of what an ambulance.
Yeah.
He had mentioned here maybe a year ago about wanting to the possibility of maybe coming up with a more of a line item budget that we could go through for some of the expenses in his office, and he did submit that to Lisa, and then Lisa's got it out here for all of us. So and Lisa, you can kind of help us through a lot of this, and Teresa, I mean, and so you guys know every time we get a and I'm not sure exactly on the process, but when we get a claim from the medical examiner, it has to go through the attorney's office to verify that it actually should be should have been in a medical examiner's case. Is that correct?
Correct. And then we identify if it needs to be sent out to another county for reimbursement. And I also reconcile the actual reports against the billing system and things like that. Yep.
So the charges he's got down here are pretty pretty self-explanatory. A couple of comments I'm going to make, and as far as the on-call time for your investigators, the thing I struggle with on that is that the only way we were able to do that is to set those guys up as independent contractors. And I don't think from where we sit that we can pay independent contractors to be on call.
It would be crossing that employer independent contractor line as far as the IRS.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If other entities do it, I don't know how they get by.
And
IPERS, we have to have them kind of sign off on our independent contractor, and that would be one of the areas that they look at.
Mm-hmm.
If we're paying anything like that, they may lean towards more of the employee. And it's a true independent contractor the way we have it set up right
sure.
now.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
right.
we can do that.
We did take the step to include them in the county's liability policy. It was my
mm-hmm.
understanding with a conversation through our carrier that if they went out to get that liability for themselves, it would just be astronomical.
Right, yep. Sure. If the on-call type of stipend doesn't work for them, that's fine. One of the things I've been trying to do, a couple things. One, to make this process transparent, and at your page 37 on your county-wide services, you have a single line item for medical examiner services. I understand that that's the way it has to be because it's not a official incorporated department of the county. From my end, I'm just trying to make it transparent. If anyone wants to know where does this money go, this is where this money goes. On a task-oriented line item like any other cost accounting would be. One of the things we struggle with is this process of when we have an investigation, and right now we're paid on a per-investigation basis, it's a lot of paperwork that shuffles between us. And I thought maybe we could just get rid of the per-investigation fee and go more of a, pay the medical examiner a stipend, give the MEIs, the medical examiner investigators, an on-call pay, and kind of shelf this piecemeal paperwork. But if that won't work, that's fine. I can still have the investigators bill a per investigation fee. That's fine.
I think that's probably what we'd have to do it if they're contractors.
Do those records have to be, or that type of information later have to be processed and sent someplace else to review outside of the county level on an annual basis or anything like that?
Every medical examiner jurisdiction investigation that's done by myself or my investigators, that does go to the state medical examiner's office.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that wouldn't still happen because we have to do that by code. Just it's the remuneration for those services what we're talking about, and what the technique or the mechanism might be for that. But what I'm hearing is that an on-call type of pay probably wouldn't work with our independent contracting with those investigators.
My question now would be more or less in terms of what information would satisfy the attorney's office, and in that regard also Letha, in terms of looking at what charges are for services that we're actually being held responsible to actually pay. Again, it's more of a public perception from the standpoint is are these, or do you have a way of identifying that the cost is for this service or that service, and you may be able to lump some of those in and not have to have each line item every type thing done, but I do think you'd have to come up with some kind of statement of the charges there just in that documentation somewhere.
We have just recently made some changes to the billing system, and I think There was a few hiccups in it, but I think we're getting used to it now. We've identified, you know, what we were missing, and I think it's working a lot better now. He's, instead of actually filling out a few different forms, we're just adding it all to the actual preliminary. And that's working, I think, really well for us. I hope that's
true. Yeah, but prior to about, what, maybe 6-8 months ago, the clinic, since I'm represent the clinic and the clinic deals with our financial affairs, the clinic was submitting bills, but the clinic billing system was really not designed to submit bills for county services, so there's a lot of confusion on the part of both the clinic and the county, what's been paid, what's this for. So what we've done is when there's an investigation of a medical examiner jurisdiction death in Story County, no matter if it's myself or my two deputies or my MEIs that do the investigation, I review that paperwork, which is called the medical examiner investigation form, or we call the ME1. That's our legal document that is a standalone, covers that investigation. And I write at the bottom of that document the charges that will be forthcoming or that be anticipated on this case. So if it's just an investigation, for example, it's currently a $100 investigation fee that's paid either to the investigator if they do it or to the medical examiner if we do it on our own. If it's a case that I had to order an autopsy on, I'll write anticipated charge, autopsy charges coming from state medical examiners off in the future. So we've tried to clean that up as much as we can to dampen down the confusion, because it's a very messy situation with medical examiner services. Teresa mentioned if we have a, you know, God forbid, a busload of kids goes over to Marshalltown for a basketball game and they're in an accident and there's 10 deaths, well, that's Marshalltown, Marshall County's investigation, but those costs be coming back to us. And so there's a lot of things that go between counties and between jurisdictions, and so my attempt with some of this is just trying to make things a little more transparent, at least on the things that we control here in the county, just so you know where I'm coming from and what I'm asking for.
And I think those changes have really cleaned things up, and it's been a lot easier to follow for me. Absolutely.
And I just want to point out that right now the $60,000 that we are putting in for medical examiner would include, if you look at the list that Jamie has provided, it would include medical examiner investigators right now. We're paying them out of there. It would include autopsies from the state medical examiner and the autopsies, if there's a charge of any sort for the autopsy here. It would pay body transports already. And I think we've also paid for a couple of annual meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we just started doing it, yep.
Memberships, yes?
I don't think we've asked for any membership money yet, because
for. So there are, you know, by my calculation, the medical examiner annual stipend, we don't pay that currently, $12,000. We pay on as used basis. The memberships, we don't pay currently. The clerical services, we don't pay currently on the second page. So basically about, $15,000, $16,000 additional costs. Look at strictly what we pay for now versus what he's asking for.
Yeah.
This has been kind of a drawn-out process, because I think prior to this, it was in a pretty archaic system. I mean, you know, I was familiar with medical examiners for the last almost 35 years in the county, and I mean, it was a pretty low key.
I'll interrupt you. There is no accountability.
Well, and that's probably right.
And that's a fact.
Clinic is subsidizing the county medical examiner's portion of this.
And the hospital, yeah.
Clerical work that your staff person puts in for this. And I think if it's something that's directly billable or related to the county or the medical examiner's offices should probably be billed back to the county. I mean, if it's a county expense, and I don't know how you, if you've got a system that you can do that, if you know that, that a certain percentage of your clerical person's time or whatever percentage of time she spends on medical examiner business, I think that's a legitimate expense that needs to be billed back to the county.
And he spends about 3 hours a week on average. I've looked at that, yeah.
So I mean, I don't know what you guys feel we need to do to this line item, but I mean, if they're legitimate county expenses, I think that we need to be paying them. I mean, we hadn't been paying them in the past, and it was one of these things that every year we just put a certain amount of money in that line item, and we never heard anything from anybody. So
the other thing I'll mention is, you know, the new thing as Paul alluded to this year is that we have these investigators that are working for us now. And just want to put a plug in for those investigators. Those investigators are as much to help you as supervisors as they are to help me manage death investigation. In that, right now, if, or let's say before the investigation started, if I said, I don't want to do the medical exam business anymore, the county would be at a loss for what to do. As far as I understand it, because there's no one else that's really ever stepped up to want to do it, you'd be left out a medical examiner. These investigators give you a vital bridge. If all of a sudden McFarland pathologists say, you know what, we're not going to do the medical examiner stuff anymore, we're going to get out of it, we don't want to do it, those investigators will help you bridge between the outgoing medical examiner and whoever you can convince, plead, cajole into taking it on. And that pleading and cajoling will be a lot easier if you can say, well, hey, we have these people who are already doing these investigations and they can handle a lot of this for you. So I just want to make that clear that that's going forward. That'll be an important part of the medical examiner budget as we go forward, to make sure we have an investigative staff that can particularly help the medical examiner, which is what they're designed for, but also be a fallback for the county government in the event that you lose your medical examiner. I think I can't stress that enough. That's very important.
And in all honesty, we reappointed you the first of the year, and you let me know up front that, you know, you're only really going to be able to commit through what, June, the end of this fiscal year.
Yeah, and I would make a firm commitment to end this fiscal year.
Even though it's a 2-year appointment, he did let me know that and he's right. I mean, I've had this conversation with John, what's his last name from the state?
Oh, Kramer, John Kramer.
Mm-hmm. John Kramer, numerous times, that, you know, the county would be in a kind of a pinch if Jamie decided he wasn't going to perform these services anymore, because I don't know who we would get to do it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think you would probably be stuck with trying to get the providers at Story County Medical Center to take that over, which would not be a pleasant transition.
No, and that's another conversation itself. So I don't know how you guys feel about the amount that we've got budgeted, and you know, the total he's got down here is $67,000. But if you remove the on call time from that, I mean, that puts it right back to where we're at.
Right, but if you remove the on-call time, as I'm reading this, and Jamie just helped me if I'm missing it, if you remove the on-call time, then you need to go back to the per-investigation charge, which
Correct.
Right now is $100.
Right.
We're assuming 80 of those a year, so it's really $8,000 instead
yeah.
of $7,300. We need to do it however it's appropriate. I'm in complete agreement with let's get this thing as absolutely transparent as we can. And, Jamie, to me, that would include a report from your office at the end of each fiscal year that says, okay, this is what we actually did in the last year. This is, you know, we budgeted for 80, but this is exactly how many investigations we had. This is how many autopsies we ordered. And give us the complete report along with a breakdown of clerical services. We've got estimate in there, but what it actually is. And then I would need, this is just for me, I would need a little more detail of, if there was a $12,000 stipend, exactly what, clearly we're tasking you with this, but again, in the idea of transparency, I'd need you to kind of line item out what exactly you
Correct.
End up providing.
I have put that there parenthetically under the stipend, and again, that stipend would replace any fee for service. So if I go out, if I don't have an investigator on call with me, but I have to go out and spend 8 hours at, you know, the lake waiting for a body to come up, that's included in that stipend.
Yep.
Would be. So I'll put this a different way. That $12,000 gets you three pathologists who are really good at what they do, who are on call for the county every second of the year.
Yep.
And that's about as clear as I can make it. That's cheap doctor time.
It's really cheap. And all I'm suggesting
cheap,
is
yeah.
on the back end, just reporting, we know what we expect from that, but
right.
then just reporting exactly what ended up
yeah.
happening from that. My other question, Teresa and Lisa, is more for you. When we bill another county, when something happens that we provide the medical services and it goes to another county, where does that show up on our revenue side?
It doesn't show up on your revenue side. I do it as a budget reimbursement if it happens in the same fiscal year, so that your medical examiner is truly Story County.
Okay.
Services.
So we may be spending more than the $60,000 we have budgeted, but we're just getting reimbursed from
yeah,
other counties.
Yeah, but if it's from another county, we're getting reimbursed for it, with the exception of some counties that don't like to pay, not to mention Polk or anything.
So is the question the flat amount, looking at either the somewhere between 60 and 68 or 67, which would include the $12,000 annual stipend, or is it staying at the 60 and then the fee for service at approximately $100 per service? Is that's really the issue, isn't it, pretty much?
I think what Jamie's saying is if you go with the annual stipend, there won't be a
fee for service.
A fee from the ME's office for every death.
We'll still get billed from the investigators for the $100.
We'll still get the $100, but we won't get the bill from the medical examiner's office for $100.
Yeah.
Okay? So it depends. I mean, in my terms, it's always been a total swag anyway, because
yeah.
we have no idea how many deaths are going to have to go down for $2,400 at the medical examiner's office. The $1,200 charge is what you guys do, I think, for an autopsy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Somewhere around there. But we've kind of transitioned to basically sending them all down to the stakes. We're just not really equipped to do a airtight forensic pose at Mary Greeley. If, you know, just to be honest, if we were taking the task on some of the things that we do, we wouldn't be doing the county any favors, so we've kind of transitioned to sending most of them down to the state.
So no matter how we look at this, we do not know how many deaths are going to be next year. Bottom line. And he's figuring 20 ordered for $34,000. Well, that's half the budget right there of the 60-ish.
Yeah, it could be more, it could be less.
I don't know how to answer your question. I mean, it's not something we get to say, oh, we're not going to pay for that.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you want the $12,000. So what won't we be charged? What are we charged from the medical examiner, except the medical examiner investigators is $100 per. But what do we get charged on top of
well,
that?
Well, right now, as a concession I made last year to Paul Toot, when we brought these investigators on, we didn't really have a solid budget to account for paying for someone to be on call and extra and to do these things. So I said, listen, if an investigator is involved in the case, whether I'm there or not, the investigator with the $100, I won't take any money. If I don't have an investigator on call and I'm the only one involved, or my two deputies are, then we're charging for the $100. So that was kind of the compromise that we're doing through the end of this fiscal year right now, to keep it as cheap as possible.
Okay.
And give the county more time to think about this and what their priorities are for the medical examiner and the future of the medical examiner's office. So that's kind of where we've been at.
I don't have a problem with the stipend. I mean, he's right. He's basically, you know, he's given his fee, investigation fee, to the investigator so we could get that program off the ground. So.
Jamie, if we move to a system more like this, you going to be willing to commit to sticking around for a while with this?
Yes. Yeah.
That right there helps me.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you want to get to the crux of it, that's it. I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's my way or the highway, but this is, after lots of thought and thinking about this for over 3 years now since I've been here, this is, I think, fair and equitable to everybody. And it provides something that's comfortable for myself and my two partners. And I can tell you, if I came in here today and you said, you know what, no, this isn't going to work, the answer from my two partners when I get back to work today is going to be, well, we're done June 30th. Let's have a big party. We're not going to take the medical examiner call ever again. So, but, you know, we want to help the county out, but we also think that we provide a valuable service that we have to get some remuneration for our professional services. We have to get something tonight.
And we're fortunate that we've got three pathologists that serve as our medical examiner and his two deputies. I mean, I don't think there's any other, with the exception of maybe one or two counties in the state that can say that.
So. Yeah, that's fairly unique. And again, we have good working relationships with many of the organizations in the county that make the job easier for us. And again, I've met with the sheriff many times and formed a good relationship with him. And we have all the tools that we need to do medical investigations that come into the hospital, because right at my fingertips, my office, I have the electronic medical record, and with my relationship with Mary Greeley, we can get access there. So it all makes sense for us to do it. It's just that we need to move from a historical reimbursement schedule that is no longer really applicable to 2013 and update that a little bit. I can tell you Boone County, they're on a per investigation basis. They pay over $250 per investigation, for just as an example of differences between counties. And that's, Boone County's 3 miles from where I live. So,
well, I think the most important thing for me is just to have you here to have you explain, the situation, what we would get for the dollars that are being spent, a little background on the history of where we've been and how that is has factored into the proposal there. And as I listened to Teresa talking about the steps taken to streamline the accountability aspect, I guess I'm kind of where Paul is a little bit. I think this is certainly worth us moving forward with. Is this a two-year, three-year contract? Is it annually approved? It's a two-year contract.
But we're in the middle of that right now.
We're in the middle of that.
I was just reappointed January 1st.
Yeah. So, I could be supportive of us moving
forward. Let me tell you what I'm suggesting.
Tell me what you think.
And then I would ask Jamie to comment on it, and then Teresa, I'd want you to comment on it, and then we discuss. What I'm suggesting is that clearly we're going to go forward with the one line item with in our budget, but break it out as we have presented here. We get rid of the $7,300 for the on-call medical examiner. We make that $8,000 based on the 80 investigations per year at $100 to build into the budget. The one thing we add to this is, Jamie, our expectation that you or one of your partners would come once we close out each fiscal year, so this is going to happen in August or September, you would come to a Tuesday morning board meeting with a report and give the report so that it's all on the record of what's going on.
I would love to do that.
So that's my suggestion. Does it strike you guys one way or another?
Is there any idea how the $12,000 stipend is going to be done? I mean, is that...
I would recommend quarterly.
Quarterly.
I wouldn't...
It doesn't matter to me what the periodicity is.
I would have some sort of agreement with them.
Well, we're going to... and we say we're doing this, we're going to turn to Jessica Reynolds right away and say, okay, now we need some kind of agreement for this stipend that we're paying. Jamie needs that as well. And so then we would put all that together.
Oh, yeah, that was
this would be just for budgeting purposes, what kind of number we're plugging in here, and then we've still got to make the agreement before we get to July 1st exactly what it looks like.
We'll ask Lisa to include you in the notification for the budget for the workshop so we can get another one of these to have next year.
Kind of along with that, what's your take on the... I mean, obviously, we're going to put, we don't know how much we're going to need for the other ancillary costs, but are we putting anything at all in for clerical? Or are we just going to?
Clerical's on here.
Second page?
Second page, $3,900 is in here.
I left that alone.
That, you think that's a fair number?
Yeah, the way I estimate that, I audited Joan and what she did, and I try to be as conservative as possible here, because I know the county isn't made of money, and I conservatively plugged in 3 hours a week at $25 an hour, which I think is fairly close to what you'd pay if you had to incorporate someone else to do that at the county level. And again, that doesn't just include her 3 hours, but includes the fact that we own and maintain a fax machine, phone, things like that. So there's other, capital things that go into that, which I think $3,900 a year is, it's not much, but I know it's more than what's been paid before, which was zero. But I think, again, that's equitable and reasonable across the table here.
Clarify that.
What is the number?
Well, my thought process is leave it at 60 because we still don't know about the we're committing to $20,550 right now from what I can tell.
Well, how many autopsies are going to happen?
And then after that, it's just a total.
That's a fixed cost. The rest of it
we'll
pay as it goes.
Right.
Could be happy.
Yeah, I mean, what we plug in here doesn't matter. What ultimately matters is whatever agreement that we ultimately reach, which is based on this document, is going to. And then it's simply we've got fixed cost of $20,000 plus the actual number of examinations and autopsies ultimately and transports that we do.
So roughly, then we're saying 45.9, I think, is about what it would come out to, plus the $100 per. That you're agreeing to with this document, is that correct?
We're doing the stipend, the clerical, or the fixed cost.
We're agreeing to $12,550
stipend.
We're agreeing to the $3,900.
That brings us to $16,450. I'm sorry, I don't know where.
We're agreeing to the $3,450, and then we're agreeing to pay $100 per investigation. We're agreeing to pay
transport,
autopsy fees. We're agreeing to pay transport, and those are just actual numbers.
Right, right.
So, as I see it, we're committing to the $12,500 plus the $3,900 that we know. No, before we do the first investigation, we know that that's there. And then everything else is based on investigation. Jamie, am I seeing that right?
I think you're seeing that crystal clear.
And so for me, $60,000, that's a fine number to have in there. We're going to spend what we're going to spend.
Right, exactly.
And ultimately that number is going to be based on how many times you guys have to go out.
And it is variable. I base this off 80 a year. We don't keep track of the numbers right now. I'll change it though on a fiscal year basis, but we do keep track of them on an annual calendar year basis. And the calendar just finished 2012. We only had 60 investigations.
Right.
So obviously that would decrease the expenditure for the per investigation fee and things like that. Interestingly enough, though, the number of autopsies stay relatively stable every year. It vacillates right around 20, maybe 15, maybe 25, but that number seems to be pretty stable no matter if we do 100 investigations or 60. But there's going to be a lot of variability just
Absolutely.
On who dies here in Story County under our jurisdiction.
Well, so where we would go from here, as I see it, is I'm going to visit with Jessica. I'm going to walk her through what we talked about here today. Then, Jamie, you could expect her to contact you, and we'll just start to put something together, which will come to us in a regular board meeting as an agreement for us to make. For your purposes, $60,000. Everybody's good with that. That's where we'll go. All right.
Okay.
Jamie, thanks.
Thanks much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Appreciate it. And, Teresa, you're welcome to stay. I know you don't have anything to do today.
We're going to see you Tuesday. Okay. How's Stephen feeling? Good.
Okay, so back to page.
Let's just go all the way back to 20. Was it 29?
See if there are any other questions.
29, let's make sure that we're getting all the way through this. We dropped communication services to 18. We dropped education and training to 7,000. Alyssa talked to us about contract labor and why we wanted to keep that in there. Did anybody have any questions on that?
No.
Okay.
$700 out of that total.
We're tight.
Okay.
Next I've got is General Betterment.
General County Betterment, I did a little different than I, or I, it looks a little different than
31.
The rest of them, only because I want you to have your, what we've actually spent over the years, which is on page 32.
Okay.
I do have a narrative, or Alyssa and I put together a narrative for the actual request on page 31. By funding all of that in those requests, we're showing a negative $132,000 in local option sales tax, 40% by the time it's all said and done. In other words, the rural fund's picking up that difference in the levy. So obviously there's a lot of assumptions when it comes to this whole part of the budget, only because I'm assuming on the revenues for local option sales tax.
Okay.
Based on a five-year average, okay? So at the top of page 32, it says your 100% tax received for the budget is $1.9 million.
Okay.
That's a five-year average of actual, okay? Your 60% property tax relief, your 40% general county betterment is $760,000. So then that means that there's $760,000 that needs to be used for general county betterment.
Oh, general, yeah.
It also will include then whatever we've carried over from the previous year. Okay. So that's where I do that next calculation. So you have technically $815,000 based on my estimates. Then the list of requests, and it might be easier to look at those than on page 31. Your list of requests are including the vehicles from the sheriff's office.
Yep.
Asset, I'm assuming we're going to do 15,000 lump sum again, or not lump sum, $15,000 assigned toward this. I think that number has been pretty steady. At one point in time, there was some calculations done as to how many rural people are served with this, so that's where that's coming from. Soil conservation is a $5,000 annual billing we get from Story Soil and Conservation. Sanitary disposal. That one went down because it appears as though that one went down. Our billing this year was half, or was 79 as opposed to 94.7, which it had been for years and years and years. So at this point in time, that's what I'm putting in there for an amount.
Okay.
The economic development, that was increased for the request by $100,000.
Yep.
From $100,000 to $200,000.
Which we need to talk through.
Yeah. Right. We're paying for county tourism, which I've listed separately, $2,000 and $4,000 out of that. The library annual support is paid out of here. The library annual support from the county has to be paid from the Rural Services Fund. And this is where we pay for it from at this point in time. Your call. If you want to pay for it from levy dollars, you can replace it with, you know. Motor grader, we talked about this the other day, that the Secondary Roads has asked for another motor grader out of this. If we wanted to loosen up some of these dollars, we could have them pay for part of their motor grader, pick a number. For years, it was $240,000 that we've actually put in there. Last two, it's been $290,000. This year, they're not spending the full $290,000 on a motor grader, but he did ask to spend additional dollars on gravel. That's where I'm coming up with $948,000 worth of requests.
So the question, one of the questions then is whether we want to keep the same dollar figure, recognizing that he may use part of that for rather than for the motor grader itself purchase. Is that the dollar amount doesn't change?
Dollar amount could change. You could have him pay for some of it out of his new equipment line item.
Okay.
As opposed to paying the full amount out of local option sales tax dollars.
I think last year.
How many years have we?
Thought that's why.
Yeah. How many years have we gone used the local option? I can for the Board of Greater. I think I can remember at least the last four.
It's probably been five put in there. I think I was going to say probably close to our last appeal, which was 2001.
Oh, okay. So ever since then. Okay, I got you. Okay. So I don't know.
That was a decision.
Right.
Here's my interpretation of this whole area here. The Board of Supervisors makes the determination of what is general county betterment in the rural unincorporated area.
Right.
We know there are some requirements as far as what we have to pay for out of the rural fund. Back when those decisions were originally made, I put whatever had to be paid from the rural fund as much as possible into the 40%.
Right.
And then the dollars obviously rotate. The dollars fluctuate somewhat as to what the requests are and what the priorities are. By paying for a motor grader out of here, we freed up some money out of the secondary roads budget, and we can use this toward local effort. So it was a dual benefit. It helped us both ways. I'm looking at the numbers and saying, well, I understand Darren's concerns with his fund, but I am not seeing that it is decreasing every year, his ending fund balance. My numbers for the and there are extenuating circumstances all the time. My numbers show he had a $1.9 million ending fund balance at the end of 12. We're projecting a 1.7 at the end of 13, and we're looking at a 1.6. So it might be going down about 100,000, but we're looking at 1.6 at the end of FY14 at this point in time. So, you know, that's just FYI, so you guys can understand when I say we'll possibly... For 1 year, we don't pay the full motor grader.
Right.
Yep, some dollars. Your call.
Well, Lisa, talk me through this one. This is where I am. I think we need to work to make sure that our carryover is not negative. So I start with that premise. And I come back to this and I say, I believe a motor grader in General County Betterment is the appropriate place for it. I don't necessarily believe that extra over and above what a motor grader actually costs, using it for something else, is what was ever intended here. And as I recall, that motor grader, was it in the 250 range?
We already bought it.
So we bought it this year. It was less than what was there. So either 260, 270, I'm not sure. But there was some savings in there.
By me doing this brilliant thing of redoing the numbers or re-putting it in a different format, I don't have an actual spend this year. I would have to go see. Would you go get, all you have to do is pull up countywide service or general county betterment fund or department on your monthly reports.
But so. Yeah. While she goes to get that, I'm suggesting we take that from 290 to 250.
For the current year or for next year?
For next year. I'm talking about next year. From 290 to 250, and that be what we pay toward a motor grader. If it's more than that, then we
have to do it
somewhere else. In the economic development, I'm still suggesting 200, but only 100 of it in betterment, and then we need to talk about the other part of that, the other 100 in general supplemental, I believe, and Lisa talked me through this, simply because the intent of a huge portion of that extra 100 that we're talking about is to assist our smaller municipalities, which is hard to make the case that that's rural.
Was that 100, was that part of the request from P&D
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm right. just talking. I'm yeah. still talking about the same 200 that's in here, which we'll need to go back.
But
to. Right now at P&B, there's only $10,000 remaining.
Just
right.
where they allocate it. Just where they allocate.
Right, and that was why I wanted to clarify because I totally agree with you on that one. That's
Which reduces this by $140,000, which gets us where we need to be. In general, better as I see it,
right.
gets us where we need to be in general betterment for next year. We still have the $100,000 to talk about in economic development, but we talk about it as part of the general supplemental fund.
Or
right.
somewhere.
We talk that through.
Should probably be
but
more
as far
kind of
as dealing with general betterment, I'm suggesting take the $290 to $250, take the $200 to $100, and I'm on page 31 right now.
Yeah. Because it's going to show up somewhere else, rather than here. If we move
what
forward and approve the other 100.
257,064.
So we'd have to find $7,000 somewhere else in the budget to do that. But I'm saying our number is 250 that we plug in here. Thoughts. Lisa, does that get us where you're more comfortable with the way this?
I think it's more accurate.
Like you said, putting that extra $40,000.
We changed. We're going to go to 250 on instead of 290, and then we're going to.
I don't believe it was ever the intention.
Out of this, make this 100.
And the extra $100,000 economically.
And then we're going to look at it in putting that in either countywide or someplace
right.
else.
But it doesn't belong in here, as I see it. At 140. All right, can we move on?
Well, I would request that I get a little...
Yeah, that's quick. Fine. Let's take 5 minutes.
Let me.
Okay.
Ready? All right, we are on page 33. We're talking about countywide services revenue. Actually, before we do that, since we've got Leanne here and we just finished pulling that $100,000 to talk about it, let's talk about that $100,000 in economic development. Go to your planning and development page, which is starts 134. And flip to the, it's actually going to be 135 or 136 where we have the, outstanding. Oh, good.
I think I pulled everything out that you wanted pulled out. Double check me. And I put it in the real columns
that I've heard. Oh, this here. Oh, cool.
These are just issues that we've talked about.
Okay. I pulled out from the work session. It might be easier to look at in that way.
Absolutely.
I don't care.
And so that you have the note, if you made notes on here, it's page 139 that we're referring back and forth to. Okay, the Economic Development Gardening Program, we reduced from 5,000, as my notes say, we reduced from 5,000 to 2,500.
Yep.
And we left it in planning and development. We reduced community vision plan from 15,000 to 1,000. We zeroed out the coordinated long range plan agreements. We zeroed out 5,000 for economic development. We zeroed out 25,000 for the economic development audit. We zeroed out 50,000 for the industrial commercial land inventory, and we made a note that we were going to talk about all those in relation to economic development, which is part of this $100,000. So that's $80,000 that we zeroed out. We zeroed out zoning audits, but weren't going to talk about that any further at this point. And then we took downtown architectural study from 100,000 to 10,000 and left it in planning and development with the caveat that we're going to talk about that as part of that economic development piece that we're doing. So what we've got is we've got $90,000 that we pulled out of P&D. We've got 100,000 new that we had plugged into economic development, trying to do most of the same things that we were trying to do with that $90,000. And so we need to talk about what of those things we want to do. I think the only thing that is not in here that I wanted as part of that economic development is I want a person who is responsible to our smaller communities. And by our smaller communities, I mean all of them except for Ames, Nevada, Story City, Huxley. Except for those four. I did present this informally to the mayors on Wednesday night before we had our emergency management meeting. We had most of our municipalities represented, and there was unanimous agreement that it would be really helpful for our smaller communities to have a person who's aware of grant opportunities, who can coordinate the activities of the county, who's aware of inventory in each of these small towns, who can help to run these architectural studies. All went to Ziering Monday night and presented to their city council. There, you guys have seen a letter from them. They're highly interested in doing some of these architectural studies and looking at revitalizing Main Street. And so the thought with the $100,000 that I asked Alyssa to plug in to our budget, and now I'm suggesting be part of the general fund or the general supplemental, is that we can accomplish all these things that we pulled out and had interest in the Leanne's, as well as providing that person who's responsible to the smaller towns, and we do that on a contract basis. In my mind, it could be somebody other than this, but it would be a request for proposal that would go out to anybody who is interested. But I see three potential bidders here in Story County. I see Nevada Economic Development, LaVon could have help. I see Ames Economic Development, and I see Iowa State Extension. You see anybody other than that off the top? I mean, not that there wouldn't be, but I see those three as having interest in something like this. And so what I'm suggesting is the $100,000 be a number we plug in there, and hopefully an RFP that we put together and get out, it would in fact be less than the $100,000 accomplishing these things, and maybe a few more. I mean, what I would suggest is that if we go forward with this, that you guys direct me and Leanne to work with Jessica Reynolds on putting together an RFP for the board to approve. And
so help me understand that they are within the RFP, these items would be the focus of what this person would help coordinate. So in other words, it's
or
not...
Or a group.
Yep. Yeah. So in other words, it's giving a clear direction of the areas that the dollars are going to, so it's not so much as a compensation per se for anything else, any other kind of collaboration or discussion that they might have. I'm trying to think in terms of if I was submitting an RFP,
right?
You know, to provide technical support or analysis. Or grant writing or whatever it is, usually it's a fee for service or some type of, you know, charge, you know, for that particular entity. So how would we expect that they would react to, you know, that request?
I would expect
yes and no.
That they would say Story County is asking for somebody to step in and fulfill these responsibilities. 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, whatever it is. This is what Story County wants. This is the reporting structure that Story County is asking for. How much would it cost us as a group or an individual, whatever, group or individual, how much would it cost to provide those services? And then they would come forward with a proposal that says, this is what Story County has asked for. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
This is how we would throw, you know, one person at it. We would throw 10 people at it. You know, we would do whatever. This is how we would address them. This is what our expected results would be. And this is what it would cost for us to do that. And then we as supervisors would either select one of the proposals or say, no, none of that. None of that fits with what we want to do or what we're trying to do here, and we'd move on.
And that's what I meant by saying that. All you can do is put the RFP out and see what the interest is,
And maybe there's...
Yeah, and then you guys decide from there, well, they will do or won't do this or that or however.
After the RFP, you have the right to negotiate. If if it comes in way more than what you had ever anticipated, then negotiate whatever services you
right.
are.
Exactly.
I think the best model for the board to look at is what you did with Springstead, to bring those services on board to do the performance measurement standards and the job descriptions, and that evolved through the process. It was put out there for those types of services. You had respondents to analyze, and then you selected someone, and then, again, like I said, evolved as you went.
We did it with a broker not too long ago. Or it wouldn't be any different than that.
Right.
They'll come in with what they feel it's going to cost us to have those services, and then you
based on what we're asking for.
Yeah,
exactly.
Based on what we're asking for, and yeah, that was...
And so the $100,000 that I'm asking us to plug in there, I think it's a pretty good estimate, but it is really just an estimate, and we would see where it all goes. But it the beauty of it is it covers the things that we're talking about. It covers the things that are in that CPAT report and the restructuring committee. It's a way for us to do it without looking at adding any county staff, which was a big one for me, because that has a way of perpetuating itself and continuing on. This one would be a program that truly we would analyze every year and say, okay, is this something that we feel like we're getting benefit out of?
Okay.
And then we'd move on.
Then in tandem with that, if you would go forward with that, you have your professional planning staff reaching out to communities for the planning and zoning and floodplain management end of things and looking at contractual arrangements. So it really would be a full force approach to really provide assistance to communities from everything economic development on down to ZEWA zoning if it all comes to fruition.
Am I thinking that the $100,000 was in here twice? It was in one place and in Leanne's budget.
Well, kind of, Leanne's dealt with them item by item. The $100,000 that I asked that we put in is more of a shotgunner approach. We're going to put all these things in, and that's the reason that we were able to pull the stuff out of Leanne.
And
so
just,
kind of twice.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding when I pulled the $100,000 out of here that and out of the economic or out of that one line item. Is that really $100,000 that we're going to put somewhere else?
It's a function of the right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing, in that Leanne and I had talked pretty regularly about, okay, we got to make sure that all of this is reflected in the budget. And so Leanne rightly put it all in her budget.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Alyssa and I said, I estimate that these things are going to cost us $100,000. Please plug it in so that the board can talk about
it. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I knew what...
Okay, I'm following you now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So thoughts?
I like it. I mean, I've had conversations with some of the mayors and council people in these little towns, and that's exactly what they say, is that we don't have anybody that knows where to look for the grants, that can write a grant if they could find one to apply for. They just, I mean, you know, you're looking at council members that are, you know, they meet once a month for a couple hours, you know, a night, and Colo's fortunate that they've got a city clerk that's been there for 35 years. He's also the maintenance supervisor for the streets, Scott Burka. I mean, he's the clerk, and but a lot of the rest of them don't. I mean, like you said the other day, Zering, they've got guys that get together and mow the city property because they're working on a shoestring.
Right.
Well, it's a new concept for me, but it's a concept that has been clearly thought through based on, you know, the reports that we received, and now it comes back to, we've identified some areas where additional funding need to go, and we are moving to provide some funding to be able to facilitate the actual cooperation of these things. So it now takes it from the discussion stage to the possibility of actually being able to say to these local communities, the county is making a commitment to try to find a way to partner and to work with you, to assist you in this area. And I think it also clearly demonstrates the more recent focus that we took when we started to take a look at economic development on a broader countywide basis, and what role the county could or should play as we move forward, recognizing that a lot of these local jurisdictions are futuristically going to start to also look to the county to be more of a player, particularly as it relates to infrastructure type of things and things of that nature. So having not gone down this route, I'm much more comfortable based upon the prospects of what it could do and the fact that this would be something that we would review annually each year. I think it's a good start. It's a good start.
One of the things, if you put it in countywide services, it's your budget. So you are going to review it every year. You are going to talk about it. It's on the table to talk about then.
Well, and let's just be clear there. The reason I think this $100,000 rests most appropriately in countywide services is it truly is a countywide service. It's not a rural service. It's not. It is countywide, and so that's where I believe it belongs.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Yep. Leanne, any thoughts from you? Any other thoughts? Okay.
All right. So assuming that this is going to, this is clearly going to make it into this draft of the budget, assuming that this makes it all the way through the final thing we do, then would you guys be okay if I work with Leanne and Jessica to start to draft what the RFP would look like? Because if we're going to truly start this on July 1st, we need to get that RFP out probably in the next 45 days.
You're going to want that RFP definitely shortly, soon after the budget's approved, needs to be out and released.
Okay.
Right.
So that we can do a local as well as Midwest scope too, focusing on the local. But and there may be someone that in the Midwest has.
We want to open this up to anybody that we think can provide these services for Story County, and then hopefully we've got multiple to choose from, and we get to say this is who we think is going to do the best job.
Time to release it, and then adequate time to have review of it, and then contract negotiations, and starting mid-March, which should allow that by July 1st.
But that means that we need to have the RFP put together before March 1st, so that we know where we're going once the final budget is approved.
I can set up a meeting with Jessica and start getting the ball.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Leanne.
Yep.
All right, so that was a discussion that now is part of countywide services, but let's go back to the top of countywide services, which is page 33. We're on the revenue portion of countywide services. Local option sales tax, why can't that be $2 million?
Bump it?
Yeah, no, I'm asking the question. It looks to me like we're at 52% already this year.
That one?
Yeah, locals option.
Because I can bump
40%.
It.
Well, I'm asking.
Here's the deal. Yep. I get in August. Which I would have gotten last August. They tell me how much to expect this year.
Right.
So I totally use that number for 1904 to expect.
Right.
So... But in the 988, the halfway through the year, includes the reconciliation payment. Because in August, I get a thing saying this is how much you're going to get this year. In November, we get a reconciliation payment. So we've gotten a reconciliation payment for this year to bump that.
To bump it this year. Right.
You get that every year?
We get a reconciliation payment every year. Some years it's substantial, and some years it's not. And some years they lower the projections. So when I say that my estimated 100% is 1.9, that is based on the August.
Right. What they're projecting for the year.
Right.
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 But then I go back and I look at FY12. And it was
$2 million. $2 million, right.
And as I recall, that wasn't what we originally budgeted in there.
Oh, no. No.
And I mean, you know where I'm going here.
I can bump it.
I mean, it's tight, but I think it's looking at where we've been, I think $2 million is a reasonable estimate of what that revenue is going to be.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys disagree with me?
Yeah.
interested?
You know, all of these is, we could be less than that. Then right. That's where
yeah.
we would come
oh.
back the following year
oh,
where
yeah.
we would
yeah.
adjust it. Okay.
This is a conversation
right.
between
right.
Lisa's
okay.
doing
right.
her job right. on being
gotcha.
Really conservative
gotcha.
On these, and,
okay.
and I'm just pushing to be as realistic as I think we possibly can be. That's the difference. If
so
you guys are okay with
so
$2 million,
you would
I want $2 million.
Up the reestimated at 12 then?
No, I want to re-estimate it at 904.
At 904?
At 1.904.
Okay. Well, let's give it a shot.
Okay.
What? Now you're doing what? You're re-estimating?
No. Your re-estimation's solid.
I just asked him about
it. I like your re-estimation.
He's leaving it there. He's leaving.
I want
next
year's to be
$2
million instead of 1.9.
Leave it as is.
I missed that. Sorry.
No, I just asked, was there anything to do with the re-estimated as well? So he said no.
Public safety fees. We've got this year, we're expecting 18.2. We've already brought in 12,100. It's at 11,000 next year. Can you tell me where that 11,000 came from?
At district court revenues, is that the very bottom of that page?
No, it's third from the top on page 34. Other public safety fees.
Sheriff's.
Sheriff's.
Top of the page 34.
34, third from the top.
Third one down. Third one.
Other public safety fees.
Right, it is.
Yeah.
That is coming from the sheriff's office. Totally, it's sheriff's reserve officer's fund.
I mean, that just is his own fund, but I look at where it's been, where it really jumps up and down. But $18,000 this year, where does he collect those dollars from?
He collects those dollars from his reserve, just going out and doing.
Like Iowa State
contract
services.
But it just stays in that fund, right?
Yeah.
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 All right. Lead poisoning grant.
That was the number I got from looking at what the actual is this year. We're actually going to get $11,148, so I have an expense and a revenue for the same amount for next year.
Okay.
All I can do is base it on what our current year is.
Good. Okay. Case management, that's bumped to 130.
Bumped to 130 for next year, and I moved. And I re-estimated down to 112.5 for this year. Because I had re-estimated
right.
up to 125, and that was an error on my part, apparently.
But the 112 that we've collected is all we're collecting.
That's all we're
going to
get.
All
yeah.
we're going to get.
Yeah.
That's all I had on that page. Any other questions on countywide? Page 37.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do anything with the medical examiner, but had a great conversation and are making some changes to that. Are there any other areas on this page that we need to take a hard look at?
I would like to ask the question on the emergency management, which is fourth line down. That budget was approved Wednesday night, I assume.
It was.
The Board of Supervisors is supplying a 14% increase in that, just FYI. From the supplemental fund.
And it will be reflected in its own line item on our tax roll.
17 and 14%?
14%. It goes from 171,419 up to 194,940. Huge part of that is a $40,000 state grant that we had been receiving for years that has gone away. And so then the question came to the mayors, and I'll just remind you guys who's on that. Every municipality in Story County, plus one supervisor, which is me, plus the sheriff,
right.
serve on that commission. The way the code reads is that emergency management shall be funded at whatever level they determine, but there's five different mechanisms for how they can be funded. They can be funded on a per capita basis. They can be funded with fees from each municipality. I don't know if I can go through all five. They can be funded as we currently fund it, which is through the countywide, which I believe is most appropriate because we don't know where an emergency is going to hit or what's going to happen.
They don't have levy authority is what is
they don't have
the
levy authority, but they get to set their own. We don't get to mess with their budget. We can just say, no, we're not funding 194 out of the countywide. We're funding whatever, and then they've got to deal with it. That is what it is. the $20,000 increase there went mainly to offset that those lost federal grant dollars that actually it's been squirrely the way it's run. They keep saying they're going to send them to us, and then they never send them. When's the last time you saw one of those?
We had one this year.
We had one this year, okay.
This fiscal, I think it was for last fiscal, but we got it in this fiscal. They are on a federal year, too, to really confuse them.
Yeah.
Additionally, the dollars are for a disaster fund that he is trying to build up, correct?
What, $40,000 a year, we're trying to get 1% of the county budget put away in a disaster fund. So that'd be roughly $400,000 and build that up at the rate of $40,000 a year. So his budget is actually coming back looking like he's spending a heck of a lot more than he really is, because we're trying to last year we freed up $40,000 that he never spent. Next year we'll free up $80,000, $40,000 from last year, $40,000 from this year. And what it does is it means that if we have a disaster here in Story County, Keith's not going to have to wait to get started. He's not going to have to get approval from anybody to start getting things set up. And so that was the goal that group set forth. And what I don't get, Lisa, is I don't think that's going to be reflected. That's going to be reflected in terms of what the county is putting forward at that same $40,000 a year. But his spending, I think his spending is up, what we show is up to like $419,000. But it's really not that.
It's really not.
Because there's that $80,000 built in, which will be $120,000
next year. Yeah, and as I've explained to him, and I know he doesn't like it, but it's the way it is. If he wants to spend it, or if the commission wants him to spend it, or be available to spend it, we have to budget it every year.
Got to put it in the budget.
It just ends up in the balance when it's all said and done. So his balance looks like it's growing, but he knows, and I know, and we know that it's for that fund. So.
And the mayors all felt that, actually, it passed unanimously with the commission. They all felt that that's the appropriate thing to do, because at the end of the day, if we have a Joplin, Missouri kind of event come through Story County, we need that emergency manager to be on the ground making decisions, getting things done, and that's going to cost some dollars.
Yeah.
So,
you know, this obviously is an issue statewide, because if I recall, earlier last summer, emergency management wanted to bring a proposal that would allow them to have some levying authority.
They want to set up much like an assessor.
And that was kind of not supported by ISAC and so forth.
They've been trying it for years and years and years.
So I can see, the reason for it.
So what they did...
The compromise.
The compromise that they had last year, and bless their hearts, they thought it was going to be on last year's tax statements, but they didn't give us enough time or the Department of Management enough time to make that happen. What they've done now is you will see it as a subcategory of your general or supplemental, depending on where you budget for. So it's going to be a subcategory of our supplemental to see how much it costs per thousand.
Right. So this 194 will be reflected on all our tax statements.
What did we decide? Is it how much? 2 cents?
I don't remember.
I gave it to you, didn't I?
Yeah, you
asked
it to me
for it. I was hoping I did. I can tell you what it is at some point, but not right now, apparently. I don't have my levy sheet in front of me.
Everything else on here looks to me, any of the changes look to me, because they're passed through or they're tied to grants up above.
I would like to point out the middle of the page. It says Court Physical Operations Protection Security Services.
Yep.
$50,000.
Yep.
Last year you guys put in $35,000 and didn't spend any.
Right.
Budgeted $50,000, haven't spent any, haven't assigned anything. That's where when you were talking about finding other places to pay for things for the cameras, blah, 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 this is where I was thinking, possibly. Now, we are not the court system, however.
Right.
So it's a matter of your take on that. The other thing I want to clarify is I don't know how many cameras the sheriff has right now, but he pays annual maintenance of $20,000 on those.
And so we need to see what happens.
But we need to know what that the 12 cameras that the proposal is for. We need to know what that annual maintenance is on those 12 cameras. so that we have a handle on how much it's going to cost.
Well, remind me, we didn't plug any dollars into this budget for putting those cameras up. We said we were going to try to get it done yet this year. We're going to talk about it. We've asked Cal now to get involved in the conversation. And so I'm viewing what's happening with those cameras. We're really at the beginning of the process, not at the end of the process.
I just wanted to lay all my concerns out on the table and tell you where, if you were looking for dollars that you aren't gonna, that I don't see that you're gonna spend this year, that 50, I don't know what your plans are with it, or do we just reestimate down to 25 and call it good for now?
Yeah, we can reestimate down to 25 as far as I'm concerned.
Reestimate down to zero, but I don't know.
Well,
let's leave something there.
Leave it there. Yeah, there's a reason we put in the 35 2 years ago and the 50 last year, and it was that we had an expectation, as I recall, we had an expectation that the judges were going to make a request, and the request has never been forthcoming. And so I don't want to keep plugging it in there if the request is not coming.
So we're going to take it to 25?
I'm
re-estimated.
And I'm not,
nothing for next year.
I'm not putting anything in for next year based on that thought process.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Historical societies. We've got it left alone in here. Did we talk at all about bumping them a small amount? I thought we did.
I think we did, too.
Bumped them this year. Additional 475. There's nine of them. Quote me if I'm wrong. Alyssa, is that right? Nine of them?
I think there was nine because a new one was added, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Gilbert, I believe, was the latest. Oh, when the hell is that?
What I put in the narrative, so I'm assuming.
Yeah. I'm suggesting another small bump, take it from 2475 up to 21,000.
Give me a page.
Oh, sure. Make it an odd number.
Give me a page.
When I divide that by 9, it's 23,
30. Oh, that's page 38, Wayne. Okay. It's the fourth one down on page 38.
Okay, gotcha.
They're not getting the 33.
I'm suggesting we go up 21,000 there. The fair, I thought we talked about going up 2,000 there to 44,000.
44,000.
From 42. What do we use this education and training line for?
That's a pass-through. That's the EMS training grant.
Okay. We still expect them to use 48 this year. They haven't done anything.
Because they don't spend it until the very last pay. In fact, I have to bug them to get the money.
Get it. Okay.
To get the.
All right. Well, let's just leave that alone then. Hate to bug people to spend money.
It's part of my year-end, fiscal year-end headache. Trust me.
What are the dues and membership on page 39?
That is, I did provide you a narrative, or Alyssa did.
Yeah.
CERTA, IFAC, both chambers. I put in the new amount for the Ames Chamber.
Okay. That helped me. Yep.
This is
what. If we can go back up to employee recognition.
Okay.
This year, I'm going to spend about $4,500, it looks like, Lisa. Our pen sets went up a little bit.
Okay.
So that next year alone, and I went through and pulled everybody that will be having a 10, 15, 20. I have $3,500 in awards. I've got 22 people that are hitting their 15-year anniversary. So I would like to project that at about $5,500. It usually costs us anywhere from about 2,000, depending on the number of employees that go to the recognition banquet. I've been trying to work with EAC to keep the cost of the meal down as much as possible and really be look to where we can have it at a reasonable cost, because it does add up. We've had a few retirements. I've been capping those right around $200 per. We don't have a policy that says we can, what amount we do for a retirement party or a plaque. I try to keep it as low as possible. The plaque's about $50, so that gives them $150 towards refreshments for a retirement party. Doesn't cover it. I mean, I could have it cover it. Depends on what they want to do. If they want to do above and beyond that, that has to come out of their own budget.
Yep.
I still think $200 is plenty. I could probably lower that. But
you think if we go to $5,500 there?
That'll be close, but I think we can do it for... I just don't know how many retirements. That's a complete swag. We had more than I anticipated this year. So it's going to be right around $45. We've spent... I still have $200 for one retirement. The awards are right around $2,000. And then I kind of estimate about $2,000 for the recognition banquet. Depends on how many people go. So, and it's about 20, right now it's looking about $20 per employee.
Will we have enough money for me to get some type of plaque to present to Al?
That's $50. We're good there.
Okay.
I think we can probably do that. We'll just have to work with Jan to get that.
Right.
I think we just did galas and it was right around.
Right.
Right around there.
Yeah.
So. Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah. Getting more longevity, so we're having people. We do have one next year, too. I plugged in the number. We have somebody hitting their 40th.
Yeah, well, we're going to have
them
leave beforehand. We're going to have them leave before that.
No, yeah. We're not.
Yeah, 40th.
We'll find something that, you know.
Well, they did give us a suggestion.
They wanted a cruise, and I said, probably not.
I thought that barometer clock sounded like a good idea.
Yeah, so we'll get that figured out before next year.
So we're talking about moving that up to either 45 or 5.
It's going to be about 4,500 this year, I think.
And next year, the same?
5,500 next year.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Alyssa, anything else that we need to talk about as we go through this?
And again, just make sure that I alluded before we started, and I don't know if it was on the record, that under the dues and membership, this is again where we kind of decided to pull back on a couple of those other things. We've got the standard ones, the ISAC, the NACO, but the climate community and sustainable community one. That we are not continuing that.
What I recall we asked you for is, as our member servant on that, was just to analyze it over a couple of years. And so if your recommendation is that we're not getting what we need out of that, then I'd say
we could, but it's too much of a conflict. I have too many things conflicting with the time that, to be on the calls and all the other types of things. So it's just money that is not being utilized, so I'm not getting the feedback that I think we would should for the dollars being spent.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately, their schedule and mine just doesn't work.
One item I do want to bring up, we have paid for flu shots out of management services, I think, for quite a while. I'm wondering, we do have some wellness money, the money we get back from our FSA, our medical reimbursement. We've been getting, I think this year we got $3,200, the year before we got $4,000. It's something we can pay out of wellness funds.
I would love you to pay those out of wellness funds. I think that's a totally appropriate thing, and those wellness funds are sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that would be, you know, this year I think it was about 1,000. Last year it was 700 or 800. I changed it a couple years ago to have it run through everybody's insurance first. Right. A lot of them are covered at 100%. So it's really, instead of the $2,800 we were paying out of pocket, we were down at like $800 or $900. So
but I think
really
the shift's appropriate.
Yeah. So next year we will, if we want to go ahead and budget to spend $1,500 out of wellness. I don't have any wellness programs that I need that for right now until we really get
that
up.
That is appropriate in wellness.
Yeah, flu shots are.
Absolutely. That's the place to put it. Absolutely. So Lisa, will you make that change?
I did.
Do we want to lower management services at all by about 50? I do take background checks out of there. But
you put there then?
I put $3,500 on at the very bottom of page 38. There's something called management services, and that's what she's referring to.
Okay.
I subtracted $1,500 out of next year, so the new amount's $35. And then at the top of page 39, this third line down, there's something called employee wellness, employee programs, and I put $1,500 there. And like she said, that is, it's a separate fund.
Yep.
Not a taxing fund, whatever, but it's money that whoever doesn't spend all of their flex money, once a year we get that deposited, and there's seven.
And we have to use those for wellness.
Well, no. We have to, my interpretation of those, they used to just go into the general miscellaneous. But since we can put it into a wellness fund and it can carry over, those dollars should be spent on our employees for wellness purposes. So.
All right. So we took $3,500 out above, put it in down below.
So $1,500 out.
That's what I mean. Took it to $3,500.
Yeah. Do you want to do anything different with their vehicle fuels and maintenance on a pool car? I mean, we're not going to spend any, hopefully.
No, you're not going to spend
repairs.
Right.
I mean, an oil change, what?
I don't even know how many. I don't even have a good estimate of how many miles a year.
Let's see, five.
We're going to try to get more miles on it.
I would say three or four oil changes a year, don't you think?
If
that. I mean, what is it, every 5,000 miles?
Every five. If we put...
The other one was 13 years old.
I know. And every time we took it in for an oil change, we had another repair that had to be done. So.
Let's reduce it from 1,500 to 1,000.
Clinton's going to be buzzing that baby down to the Capitol.
Yeah, I'm going to take it a few more times.
I've heard good things. They said they say it's a nice ride. So I get to take it next Wednesday.
It's what for the purposes that thing's going to be used for is the right vehicle.
And I think the auditor's office did verify that the black boxes do fit in the back, is my understanding. So I've got to figure out how to get the seats out the middle, but I'm sure they just pop out.
I can have that taken out. My son can take it out.
They should pop out.
Oh, fit his head. Yeah.
I haven't.
Aren't the caravans, don't they have that stowaway seating where they
have
all the way down to the floor?
That's an option, and we got a very basic.
All right. Litigation and settlements, which is all the way down next to the bottom on 39. I know that's where we are this year, but is there any way to project that? I mean, we've just been plugging in the 20 year after year.
Yeah.
I did up it. I talked to Jessica Reynolds due to extra that we're spending out of it.
Oh, that's right.
For the Huxley.
For the Huxley.
We did up it to 40 because so far we've had about, I have another bill for $1,900 that I just submitted.
Oh, so this is not just settlement.
No, it's anything to do with it. So if we have to hire outside legal counsel for any reason, that is where
that
comes from.
Yeah, then that makes sense. I just wanted to understand why. I thought it was just the settlements.
No, and we have one that I still want to leave in a little bit. We do have one other one out there. So. Yeah.
But you're comfortable at the 40 that you've plugged in there.
Yeah, because that would... In all reality, $10,000 is the most I would ever project a year, one claim at the most. So that gives us about $30,000 for other outside counsel and stuff.
I had nothing on page 40 unless you guys have something you want to pull out, list if there's something on 40 you want to talk about. Lisa, anything there?
I gave you a sheet that talked about all the things that we've come up with throughout the budget work sessions.
Right.
One thing I did not give you that I was going to give you, Rick had requested this before we started all this, and he had it. But I think everybody would like to look at it. This is what he was referring to at one point in time. We talked about the other 50%.
Or not. Oh, yes. Right.
All I can do is project because until we know what levies are, you have no idea. I have no idea. So, if you look at the 2012 projections, which it would be the 14 budget, the 50% that you guys have approved, the 365,061, that's coming 65,000 from the general fund and the supplemental fund together, 1,200 from mental health, 49,000 from rural, for a total of 116 that we are using toward that. So that means we have the same amount that is just right now in our revenues.
Right. Part of that going to the general fund, part of it going to mental health, part of it going to rural. Now, remind me, are we using the full 365 in FY13 for a bond payment? I think that's what we talked about. Is it the full 365? Because that bond payment is going to be 300 and something every year.
320, if you look at the top of page 40.
Okay.
320 is for the principal. And 31054 is interest and fiscal charges.
Yeah, so there is, call it $10,000 yet remaining in TIF for FY12 if we chose to do anything with it. That also means that there's going to be $300,000 in TIF in FY14, and that's where, well, again, the letter that Ziering sent that we all got a copy of, that's where those kind of projects, we're going to have a mechanism for having that discussion. Okay, so that's the TIF side of things. Mm-hmm. Now talking about the revenue that is available for TIF that we have chosen by policy not to use for TIF, that 50%, the question comes down to, do you just let all of that roll into the general fund rural services and get eaten up as we go through, or do we want to start to make a statement and say, hey, we're serious about a capital improvement plan, and this is appropriate dollars, or some percentage thereof is appropriate dollars to carve out and put toward whatever capital improvement plan we have, and that way there's a natural, recurring, hopefully, pool of money that grows to be able to take care of some of these capital improvement projects. So, and now a capital improvement project on a county building, and let me just ask Lisa this, that can come out of pretty much anywhere in the budget. I mean, not mental health. But if we do something to this building right here, part of that could come out of general, part of that could come out of rural. It's not going to hit us hard on a true capital improvement to county-owned property.
The requirements for rural services fund is that it only be used on rural. Just a second. I probably have that code section handy.
Yeah, and where I'm not clear is, where does a county-owned building fit in that?
Yeah.
Clearly, to me, if we're talking about doing a bridge.
A rural county service.
Or something like that.
That's
appropriate in rural.
Well,
but it's also appropriate in general.
Right.
We have
flexibility
there. What
I'm not clear on is, a building like this sitting here, is that appropriate out of both as well?
No, I don't think so. Because a few years ago when you did that, Lisa, when we talked about the capital improvement
benefits
for this,
the unincorporated area primarily benefits rural service or rural county services or something to that effect. The code section is really small. It's up for interpretation as far as I'm concerned. So maybe that's a better question for
Jessica to
review.
Because what I'm proposing to you guys is that one-third of the unutilized TIF dollars. So in this case, it's the $116 minus the $1,295 that's mental health that we can't do. I mean, that's going into mental health. That's being used for mental health. So the one, what would it be? What, call it 113. The 113,000 that we take 33% of that and put it toward capital.
$1,885.
Put it in a capital projects.
Give me that total again, Lisa.
37.8 if you take the 33%. Which, to me, if I look at the distribution, you're not worried. You don't have to worry about the rural fund because it's all coming out of general.
And you can take the 37.
Right,
okay.
Right.
That's fine with me.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, so then I'd amend what I'm suggesting then and say one-third of the total amount of unutilized TIF we put into a capital improvement project, but all of it would come out of the general fund increase so that it's available for us to do whatever we determine is our number one priority. So that's the first thing.
Okay. That does not... We're talking only the growth dollars portion of this.
Correct.
So... Okay, so because the way it's currently set up now, the other taxing entities still each year get that.
This does not impact any other taxing entity at all.
Right. Yeah.
This is simply talking about dollars that are coming into the county based on the growth primarily of the wind farms Are we going to designate those for specific purposes, or are they just going to go into the general fund?
No, I think it should be designated because it ties into our whole economic development philosophy, especially as it relates to capital improvement types of issues. And then that means that we can have a discussion as we deem there are certain projects worthy of us looking to start up. It may not necessarily be enough dollars to do everything, but at least gives us dollars. And over time, that fund may grow to where there is substantial dollars available.
Well,
so,
by the time we get to the seventh year of these wind towers, with the way they go up at 5% a year, it starts to be fairly substantial dollars that you're talking about in your capital improvement program if you go down this road.
Yeah, and I talked briefly to Rick. He's asked the questions, and I've done my best to try to figure out a best way to do it. I can do a sub-fund possibly for it. Or these dollars, the state auditors are pretty anal about this. They don't want them to transfer until you actually have a project
right,
in mind.
Right.
So I can't, you know, ideally what I would do is just transfer X number of dollars a year to the capital projects fund, and there it is, sitting there. They don't really like that. I might have the conversation again because I think it's cleaner. It really is. That fund is sitting there, then, and it's
right,
absorbed.
Right.
It's not, let's use it for something else. We are, and maybe by you guys saying transfer X number of dollars for capital improvement plan, that will suffice what they require from us on our budget. So it might be as easy as, okay, I'm going to put a $37,000 line item and transfer to capital projects, knowing that that's where the capital improvement plan is going to come from. Period. End of conversation.
Well, let's
otherwise,
talk through
it might
the
have
mechanism.
To be an assigned or committed at Correct. This point in time, and then we talk about
which we have the authority to do that.
Exactly.
Doesn't create any issue.
And by committing it, because what you've done in the past is assigned a lot of the dollars. Okay. By committing the dollars, you commit to doing that, and the only way it can be uncommitted is by an action of the board saying, no, we changed our mind, we're not going to do that, and this is why.
Second part of that, so that's the first part, so that's one third. The second third that I'd like to carve off is for special community projects. And it would simply be an application process to the Board of Supervisors. We visited with Brett Comegys, the mayor of Colo. The idea behind this one is that fitness center that they put together, we had no mechanism as a Board of Supervisors to really discuss helping them out at all with the funding of that. Now, I don't know where we would have gone if we had wanted to or not, but I want us to at least have a mechanism to be able to discuss those things. So that's where I'm suggesting the second third goes. And then the final third, I'm suggesting it truly just goes into those funds because we need the growth of the revenue from the wind towers to actually impact the growth of general fund dollars and rural fund dollars in the county, because the reality is things are going to continue to cost more. I just don't buy that we need 100% of that growth in there, and I think there's a way to designate it in those two categories that gets us where we need to be.
Makes sense to me. We had had the discussion, you and I were campaigning about that money. Literally, it goes back into the general fund. It's like going into a black hole.
It's just gone.
This will give us a mechanism,
to at least discuss it. As Lisa said, every future board is going to have the opportunity to say, what were those guys thinking when they carved this out? But it at least puts them in front of it at least puts it in front of every future board to talk about it, because now it's got a dollar amount assigned to it with a purpose intended, and now you have the conversation. And if it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea. But I think it's the right thing to do with these dollars right now.
I don't know, I haven't given you much thought, but I appreciate the thought process that you and Lisa has come up with, and it certainly sounds like it's something that that we ought to consider.
Yeah, well, Lisa has been hugely helpful. This is a complex moving target that we're talking about. Lisa's been really helpful with me being able to have the information I needed to formulate this proposal. But I tried to keep it simple. I tried to just say a third, a third, a third. Here's those three things that we're doing. I think it's areas that we've discussed and discussed and discussed. We have hit hard trying to form that capital improvement plan, but we have no dollars tied to it. We've talked about the possibility, Wayne, I've heard you talk about the possibility of being able to assist our communities and the rural areas with special projects that they might have going. This is a mechanism to do that, and it still recognizes that we need the county funds to continue to grow. So it doesn't take 100% of these dollars, which I think would be short-sighted. It just takes portions of them. Go ahead. You've thought about this some. You see this fraught with problems, or you've given me all the information.
It's just an accounting issue for me. Not issue. It's just an accounting mechanism. I'm going to have to figure out a good accounting mechanism so that you have the numbers, you have the information available to you. Now, the other thing is, if there's anything you want to spend of that, if we're designating, committing, assigning, whatever term we use, the community one kind of is a new nuance to me. We have to budget it. I feel we have to budget it, or else you guys have to have a budget amendment to move it into the spending of. Okay.
Aren't we suggesting budgeting all of these in the current year? Because let's say we get to a capital improvement plan, and there's something in FY14.
You want to budget for
it. That's what I'm saying. I want those dollars to be available. Okay. Not that we're going to spend them. I want them to be available to be spent.
Okay, and I was looking at them in fund balances as opposed to actually spending. So that's fine. Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that we're going to spend them.
It's not technically,
but I want it available.
But it's similar to a designated fund that is not being used, but it's for special purposes as they've been laid out in the thirds. Yeah. And like you say, other counties have called it something else, but it's essentially the same philosophy. So it's I'm with you.
Can we start a bridge replacement fund? Did you get that email from Darren yesterday?
This is a separate topic. I asked Jessica to look into codes, make sure that we're all up to speed on code sections for closing a road. Not that that's where we're headed, but we need to look at that.
I do want to just point out, speaking of Darren, you guys all got the last email about the Country Club Road bike path. So my thought process is, in order to not muddy the waters too much, I'm going to budget $473,000 in the upcoming budget year in capital TIF, capital projects TIF, which is where we deposited the money for Dakin's Lake and all that.
Right.
I'm going to budget $473,000 in expenses and $273,000 in revenues to that.
Plus the $200 in TIF that we already.
So the difference is $200,000, which you guys have already committed to and borrowed for. And
out
all
of
that.
TIF, right.
Right. Okay. But in order to, it appears as though we're going to be the ones holding the bag funding
them. We have to spend the money up front.
We're collecting the grants and we're collecting the donations from citizens. We're collecting money from Nevada, and it's appropriate for all of that to go through that capital projects TIF.
Fund.
It is okay.
It's a capital projects fund. Remember, I made two funds. Right. I made a TIF fund, which is where the TIF revenues come into.
Right.
And made a debt for too.
Right, which is that. $3.185 million that came.
It went through there, but it
didn't. Okay, it came in there, and then we moved it over, but that's where that additional $200 is coming from, so it's really a net zero kind of thing that you're talking about doing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That recommendation was a good one, as far as I'm concerned, from the state auditors to make a capital projects TIF fund for just capital project TIFs. TIF capital projects. TIF-related capital projects.
Absolutely, but where are the revenues coming in? That's the revenue line item?
Revenue comes into the TIF fund.
Well, how can non-TIF revenue come into the TIF revenue fund, because what Nevada's contributing, these grant dollars that
are
coming
going into, I'm saying capital projects is where
projects,
I'm going
to separate fund.
Yeah, I just misunderstood.
No,
capital
okay.
projects. Mm-hmm.
Right. I have two capital projects. We have two capital projects fund.
So between the two, that's how we're going to pay for the 470.
We have a capital projects fund that is for county capital projects. We have a capital projects TIF fund that's for TIF capital projects.
Okay.
That's where we budget all of our expenses for TIF.
Got it.
When we bring revenues in and when we pay the TIF debt, we do that in a different fund.
Okay. Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. And then on this budget issues from work sessions sheet, there are some other discussions that we had, have not made decisions on, have in front of you. You tell me whether you want to talk about them now or if you want to. I mean, some of them have been discussed, obviously.
IT, we're going to hold and talk about Tuesday
right.
when IT comes back.
Yep.
So that takes care of that. We talked about all the economic development. We just finished our conversation of the use of untapped TIF funds. We just talked about Country Club Roads. So that leaves the Sheriff Dispatch Communicator. Do we want to approve that position or not?
I think the need was articulated based on the frequency of the calls and so forth like that. The problem is they have gotten by with a lower number or lower personnel for several years.
Well, part of that is that they were paying a $60,000 or $70,000 manager to sit at a console
and half the time.
Right. Half the time. Right.
And I asked point blank, if we don't approve this additional dispatcher, are you going to go ahead and hire this manager? And the answer was yes. So that tells me that they're going to hire the manager, and the manager is going to be spending half of his day sitting at a dispatch console. So there's that. I think they do need the position. That's the one that I really struggle with. And if you look at how his command system is set up, I mean, his lieutenant in the patrol division spends most of his time doing administrative duties. And he's got three sergeants underneath of him, and those three sergeants are all expected to be out in a car taking calls for service like the guys that they're supervising do.
And that's why they're non-exempt. Because I've looked at that. The sergeants over in Ames are exempt from overtime. So I've looked at why our sergeants aren't. It's because they actually do
right.
level of...
Their day is spent doing...
Day-to-day operations of being a deputy sheriff. But they're a sergeant, so they have some administrative duties also.
And I guess then if you look at the jail, I mean, that's a similar setup to dispatch. He's got a commander that's in charge of the jail, and then I don't know what Micah's title is. Assistant administrator. And those guys don't spend, I would assume, much time at all doing.
They would just fill in.
Correctional duties.
Yeah. They do a lot of the courtroom.
Right, but then he's got supervisors.
Or I think, right? Four GO supervisors.
How many, I mean, how big a staff is that in the jail?
No,
it's less than
83 total.
Total is 83
total for the sheriff's
and
office.
Added
that's 11 in communications, and then 18 or 20.
Oh, it's
now, when I look at communications, as far as they've got 10 dispatchers, one manager, and the division commander. Now, those two could adequately supervise the 10. It's usually 8 to 10 is the kind of the rule of thumb per one. There is, you know, there is a lot that goes into the communications division, other than just managing. They've had some pretty big projects lately. I get that as far as what Dina has had to do. I don't really like them having a communications manager sit at a console for half the time. Mainly for morale. You're supervising those other employees that are doing the same job that you are for half the time, but you're making 1.5 times, I mean, what it is, so.
Well,
what is the best system? Who knows? I mean, are you able to?
No, you know, I've talked to them about how they used to have the supervisors, and it just didn't seem to work real well, and I don't know if they just didn't have anybody that wanted to take on that role.
Initially, they did. And then for whatever reason, they one by one dropped out.
And I've had that discussion with them, you know, what about that? That is not something, you know, they thought about that.
They don't have any interest in going back to that.
They don't.
Right. Yeah. No, I thought they were really, really clear in what they laid out. And I am completely convinced that they're short-staffed in communication. I mean, clearly they're down one position that they have, plus they want this new position that I think there is at least some need for. I'm just not convinced we're to the point that it's a full-blown new position. And so what I'm suggesting is that while we completely recognize that communication is something we're going to have to address down the road, that I'm more comfortable as they hire this new manager, which clearly they're going to do here in the next month or two. They're going to get that position filled.
My understanding is they're waiting.
They're going to fill it.
Yes. Whether they have not advertised for it. Yes.
They're going to fill that.
Yes. So I would prefer that they get that position filled, that position in fact serve to fill in holes that they have in dispatch for the next 6 months or so, and that we come back fall of next year and revisit this once they get that manager on the ground up to speed, and then we take some. We don't know what talents and skills this new manager that they're going to hire is going to have. And I think once we get that person in the chair doing the duties, including filling in like any of us would do, when something's not, when your employee's not, you know, not able to cover everything, you step in and you fill in. That's also a great learning experience. Alyssa, while I'm with you on for morale and everything else, I think if you look at it as part of the whole training and acclimation to the job, it's a good thing to know what the people who work for you are doing on a minute-by-minute basis at first, where you're actually doing it. And so I would prefer at this point not to approve this position, but tell the sheriff, we understand that this is something we're going to have to continue to look at, and we'd like to look at it 6 months from now. Once you get that manager position filled, we'd like to come back and have a conversation midway through the year, and then we know where our budget is and everything else for next year.
Yeah, I think that's
the plan. Go ahead, Lisa. Nothing with that one?
A couple other things I want to make you aware. I did give you yesterday the cuts that the sheriff sent over, FYI, with the letter he gave us. And then in reestimating everything, the goal is to get it as close as possible to balance. And we're close. Of course, you kind of threw me off today with a $100,000 increase in the general fund, but but I expect that out of you guys. I would like to relook at revenues in the treasurer's office, because I really feel like those numbers are going to be a little higher than we're thinking, or than we're estimating, and I truly don't know that it affects anybody but us in the ending fund balance situation.
Yeah, I'm afraid that the treasurer and her deputies do not understand that those numbers are best estimate, that it's not like their budget is reduced by an equal amount if we don't hit the revenue. We're just trying to truly project what revenues are.
Right.
Because I really felt them being protective over that, like if we went to real estate, if we don't get it, it doesn't impact them.
So if I look at where we truly are 6 months into the year, I think I said made this statement. For the interest on investments, we're at $40,872. The interest rates are about not much different than they were last year, I don't think. Are they?
Can get any worse?
Huh?
They're not very good.
They're almost zero.
Yeah, so I don't know how they can go much.
But that's what they were last year, and there's also revenue coming in from the 10-year drainage loan that they did. That's going into the general fund because that came out of county funds. So my...
Well, and I think I think we're holding about $5 million in investments. And so if you look at $5 million, even 1%, which we're doing better than that, I'm still comfortable with that at $70,000.
For re-estimating the current year or for next year?
Both. Wayne, we're on page 172 right now.
Yeah. And this is a, you know, truly, these things are count. This thing is a countywide thing. It's not a belong to one department
right.
or the other. They're the one. It comes through that department, you know.
Right.
And we use it everywhere.
Well, and I'll say right now, to be recorded, to be played back, if there's ever a question. I completely recognize that as we talk about these line items, we're going to get what we're going to get. The treasurer is going to do the best
exactly.
job that she can
exactly.
to give us the most. And it's our job to estimate what that's going to be so we can have a true budget that we're dealing with. So I'm suggesting $70,000 in interest on investments. Both is re-estimated. We've got $40,000 in already. I mean, I think that's just a good solid estimate. Lisa, do you think 70 is a good estimate?
Yeah.
Is that under the re-estimated?
I put 70. Well, yeah.
Both.
Okay. I had gone up to 80.
I know you would have gone up to 80. I'm trying to be sensitive
right.
to feelings here, but I want to be realistic. Okay. And then the next one I had was auto registration fees.
Right. We went to
480.
Right. We're approaching 300,000 at 50% of the year. I don't see car sales slowing down a lot. I'd be happier if it were 500 for next year, and I still think that's conservative.
Go back and look at past history.
Yeah. 529 in FY12, 508 in FY11. I think 500 is reasonable.
And I haven't even renewed my pickup yet.
There you go. I mean, again, I don't. At 500, Lisa, do I stress you at all about us being able to get there? I mean, isn't that a reasonable, realistic? You'd go higher than that, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't on that one. I think 500 is a reasonable one on that one.
All right, so.
Let's go with 5.
And then motor vehicle mailing fees, I believe 50 is where it needs to be. It's at 42 right now. We brought in 26 so far this year. You guys good with that?
The only thing we didn't talk about on this sheet that Lisa gave us was the $50,000 that conservation was for efficiencies.
They're coming back also.
Yeah, they're coming back. So that,
I don't know if you. I mean, right now I've left that in their budget. I don't know if you want to pull that out and put it as part of assigned and to talk about it, or if you want to leave it.
Let's leave it for now and talk about it when they come back in Tuesday.
Yeah, and I talked to Cal briefly this morning. He did say that he's got some ideas. He has been out there and talked to them anyway, so he's got some ideas on that. The other thing he said is that he did find a store and 28,000 should carry the whole thing.
The whole thing. So will you plug that in then? Because I think we said 40. We said 38 to 40.
I was thinking it was 28 plus,
just that portion.
I kept saying just the way that building is broken down, I thought
he got the old quote out, and the guy won't be back till Tuesday to get a good firm number, but the old quote was right at 19, so that would do, the 28 would do all of it.
Okay.
So that's what I left in there.
Good. Thank you.
Just a request, please convey the changes to Renee that we've made.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll handle that one unless you want to.
No, go ahead.
Thank you.
Five. Start off by that.
Completely appropriate.
Okay, where we stand then on the changes of the request here from the sheriff?
That's where we're going right now.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Going to the sheriff packet. Looks to me like number over number. What the sheriff, and just since this is a separate recording from what we've done, what was requested of the sheriff, and please help me if I missed this, Wayne, you requested about 90,000 in reductions or changes to the good. Paul, you were about 100, and I said 96,500. And what it looks to me like is the sheriff has taken just over $78,000 out of his budget, what he's proposing, but then he's also added an additional 20 on the revenue side, bringing the total change to 98. I know there are questions about where he's taken it from and where he's put it into. My feeling is pretty simple. He's an elected official. It's the bottom line that matters as much as anything there. I'm highly appreciative of what they came back with. And to me, while we didn't talk about the possibility of increased revenues, it looks to me like he met that target that we asked between 90 and 100. And so my suggestion is we say, thank you, Sheriff, and we go with this and we move on. And I know that there's other feelings out there, but that's where I am.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, from the standpoint that it's his budget to run.
Yep.
I still do have some questions.
But those questions for me start to border on us trying to tell him how to run his office.
Right.
And that's the problem
it's
a creative
way of arriving at a targeted figure.
Now I will say this. I think it is completely within our purview to kind of monitor where revenues go. Because we need to be able to have this conversation next year if the revenues aren't somewhere close to where we're projecting. I mean, we just want to be close to reality. So, if we're good with that, okay. Lisa, is there anything else that we need to discuss this morning?
I hope not. I've tried to keep tabs on all that stuff as we go.
And when we meet next Tuesday to start to go through, will you have a pretty good idea as to what's our target figure we need to kind of look at as we're walking through that too as well? So we can kind of be...
Yeah, and understand So by moving case management,
right,
it's a net zero effect.
Right.
But that means your 25% ending fund balance is higher.
Oh, yes, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because you're basing it on a higher expenditure by about $1 million at this point in time.
Right, okay. So it changes that percentage,
So you're looking at a 22-23% ending fund balance right now, even though we've made these adjustments.
But that 22 and 23 is a general fund rather than mental health fund, right? Yeah, right. The projection is that it could end up being higher than that, but... Based on everything that we know, about where we're starting out.
How I calculate an ending fund balance is by the percent of expenditures.
Right.
And by moving $1 million of expenditures to the general fund, you take that times 25%, that ups what your 25% is.
And I think it's time for this board now, and I'm not talking about today, but it's time for us to go back and revisit some of our policies of where we want our ending fund balances to be. We've got a great history now over the last 3 to 5 years. We have moved some things around, starting with moving things to the mental health fund and then back. And I just think our ending fund balance, we need to talk about, is 25% the right goal for us anymore, or is it a different percentage?
How low is, have you seen it since you've been here?
13. Was it initially 2002? Wasn't it around 13 or 14? Yeah, because that's when we first went and had all the elected officials and department heads took no salary increase.
Dollars,
and we were worried about cash flow
has been
for the first
up
3 months.
Well, yeah, 13%
for actuals.
Right. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
And keep in mind that when I'm talking general fund, not the combination thereof. And when I report, it's the combination thereof.
Yeah.
And that's how our policy reads, is the combination thereof.
Yeah, and all I'm not suggesting that we change anything. I just think it's appropriate for us to have the conversation of, is that the right thing to put forward? Because I know the auditors like to come in and hold us to that.
The auditor's not
so much.
Okay.
To be quite honest with you, who holds us to that is if we go out and bond, get money.
Right. Moody's looking.
Well, I just would like it if we could have that conversation. We need to have it on a Tuesday morning. Okay. The other thing that I would ask, as you publish everything for Tuesday, when we're calling everybody back, put something in there at the end for us to go through and have this kind of conversation again, where we go through and look at everything. We just need to give notice that's what we want to do. And so then that would be the last thing that we would discuss as part of this.
So what I would like to do is put the auditor at 1. I've got the rest of the schedule I gave you.
Wait just a second.
Probably 3:15 because IT might take a little longer.
3:15 for a conversation summary.
Just, yeah, the total budget summary.
Auditor, 3:15 is IT.
No, 3:15. IT is before that. So we're going auditor. And then
1 o'clock, auditor. 1:30, attorney. 2, conservation IRVM. 2:30, IT. 3:15, summarizing. And then it's bon voyage to Mr. Toot.
That's right.
Sunny and 75 in Cozumel.
Think of us. Don't send an email every day telling us how nice it is.
I don't want to see
the
speedo either.
I love it. I think we've done some really, really good things here. I think we're going to have an interesting conversation Tuesday as we try to go ahead and pull everything together and get it to solidify. I'm anxious to see where we ended up. Based on what I've been tracking, I think we're pretty dang close. So.
This morning I was within $195,000 in the general fund. And of equaling expenses and revenues.
Yep.
Well, Rick, first of all, I really do appreciate this additional sheet here, this information regarding the TIF funds and the capital improvement process, and giving us a target that we can begin to look at how dollars could be utilized to meet some of those desired goals. So I really do appreciate the time and effort that you guys have spent putting that together.
Yeah, so my intent is Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do, you know, we've got a month or, you know, 3 weeks to talk about anything else we need to include in and finalize. But pretty much, you know, I've been doing it as I go so that we have a working document here we can say, do we like it, do we not like it?
Yep. Good. Thank you very much. Anything else?
Nope.
We're adjourned.